God, this, can you imagine if everyone on the planet was that hot? No one would get anything done.
But then life would be so boring, you
That's
know?
That's true. If everyone's hot, no one is.
That's the Incredibles. Exactly.
Yep.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Bollywood boys.
Bollywood bomb boys.
Bollywood bomb boys. Boys who can't die, you know, immortal, thanks to the prayers of one woman.
Yeah, and Jesus.
Her prayers to Jesus.
Yes. We are discussing Jump Talk Hey John.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a few years since we watched.
Uh-huh.
What were your thoughts this time around?
I enjoyed it. You know, it's a little, it's long, but I did enjoy it. And I thought all of the performances were good. And I liked watching it after, you know, knowing a little more about Yash Chopra and about Yash Raj films. And after watching Chandni, I think I just had a greater appreciation for the storytelling. Yeah, those are my general thoughts. Yeah. What about you?
I loved it.
Great.
Yeah, like this time, I mean, I enjoyed it the first time we saw it, but
yeah,
I really fell in love with it this time around in a way that I didn't originally. Yeah. But you're right. I think it's like the storytelling and the acting and the people behind it more than necessarily like the characters.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, I love our three main actors so, so much that...
Absolutely.
I think I'll watch it more frequently moving forward.
Yeah. Well, and Shah Rukh was just gold in it. Like, he...
Yes.
He was his peak charming self, and then we got his, like, grizzled self.
Amazing.
Just, yeah, all excellent. All the facets... here before us. Yeah.
I am going to say this now, but I realized that, and I think I've always known this, but I don't know that I've voiced it, and it needs to be said. Shah Rukh Khan's smile is the most precious thing in this world.
It is very precious. Yeah. It feels very real.
Yeah.
And out of his control in a way.
Yes. Yes.
Which is lovely, and I enjoy that a lot.
Me too.
And speaking of great smiles, Anushka Sharma is just...
Beautiful.
Beautiful, and her character was maybe a little bit Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yeah.
But also, you know...
She also kind of knew that about herself, though.
Yeah. And she had some, you know, we saw some motives that were independent of Samar and his story, so not entirely Manic Pixie Dream Girl, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, so we've already kind of started the lead-in to our cast, but we have Shah Rukh Khan, surprise, surprise, playing Samar, Katrina Kaif playing Meera, and then Anushka Sharma playing Akira.
Akira!
Yeah. She's a vibe.
She is.
And then we also have Papa Anupamkar.
Always.
Playing Mira's
I forgot
Papa.
He was here. I loved seeing him.
I did too. And I was like, great. And Jump Talk Hey John was written by Aditya Chopra and directed by Yash Chopra.
Chopra Family Production. I won't say surprised because, again, I had seen the movie before, but I was noticing just how up to date the direction of the film felt. And Yash Chopra at this point hadn't directed a film since 2004. And the last movie that we watched that he directed was from 1988. And so just like, I was thinking about some of the ways that like he moves the camera in Chandni that feel dated, like specifically zooming in and out is like a very dated thing. And none of that happens in Jab Tak Hai John. It's all very fluid and it felt like he grew and changed as the industry was growing and changing around him.
Yeah.
And we know that over the course of his career, he had this ability to, like, speak to the era in which he was creating a film. And, yeah, I think it's interesting knowing how important it was to Adi to be, like, taking notes about the movies that are being made around him. And so I wonder, you know, like, how much of that did he learn from his dad, just, like, paying close attention, and or how much of, like, Adi's education was, like, you know, how much was he kind of influencing Yash and being like, okay, here's what you should do.
Right.
To keep up with the times, dad, kind of thing. But yeah. Either way, great.
Yeah. Whatever system they had worked out, it worked well.
Yes.
Yes. Great. Shall we? Do we have anything else we'd like to say?
I am ready.
All right. We open in present-day Ladakh, where one man in a bomb suit is gingerly poking at a bomb.
Like you do.
Like you do, yep. If you see a bomb, poke at it. That won't end poorly.
Nope, definitely not.
Then a super attractive man on a motorcycle rolls up. Mm-hmm. This is Samar, played by darling Shah Rukh Khan, and he takes over defusing the bomb without wearing a bomb suit of any kind.
Yeah.
He's just out there in his skivvies.
He's just naked.
That'd be an interesting film.
Naked as the guy from Finland in Eurovision.
Yes. That would kind of take away some of his street cred, I imagine.
Just, yeah, shirt, no pants.
Winnie the Poohing it. Yeah. No, he's in his soldier uniform. Yes.
Yeah. Soldier boy pants.
Yes. Yes. And this is his 98th bomb that Samar is defusing, and we learn that he is called the man who cannot die. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Samar defuses this bomb, then rides away on his motorcycle. And he rides through all these gorgeous landscapes as he remembers all these things about a person that he loves, saying that he'll love them, Jubtok Hajan, as long as I live. Mm. Which I do like repetitive. You know, I like that stylistic choice to be like, let me just say something and then repeat the same phrase. It that always works on me.
Jubtok Hajan.
Yeah.
Jubtok Hajan.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Oh.
The poetry. Oh.
Yeah, huh. Emotions.
Just the exact reactions that Yash Chopra was hoping for here.
Exactly. Oh. Okay. We then see a gorgeous woman jump into the body of water by Samar's, like, little campsite. And I don't know how she got onto that rock in the first place, because it's in the middle of the water, but she's completely dry.
Yeah.
But anyway, here we are. She flew.
She doesn't know how cold the water is.
Right. Like,
how did she get there?
Yeah, so she jumps into the water and is immediately shocked by how cold it is. And so she starts screaming for help. And Samar's just, like, hanging out on the bank, like, sipping some coffee, maybe? I don't remember. But
just chilling.
Just chilling. And he's, like, ignoring her. And then she goes underneath the water. Which, mind you, she later says that she was, like, a national swimming champion. And so
maybe that's a bit of a plot hole.
Yeah, because I understand the water's cold, but, like, you would probably start swimming for sure before you would... You wouldn't just immediately start drowning.
She was not far from shore. Which also, I'm like, what is the topography here of this body of water?
Who knows? Maybe I'm judging Akira a little bit here, but whatever. She gets to get saved by Samar, so...
She comes out a winner.
She's winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she wakes up to him giving her chest compressions and saving her life. And then once she's, like, alive and he's verified that she has, like, coughed up all the water in her lungs, he, like, just silently gets on his motorcycle as she's yelling at him for not saving her sooner. And then he just rides away, leaving her with his jacket.
She'll be fine.
Yep. Yep. And so, as I mentioned, this woman is Akira, and we learn that she works as a journalist for the Discovery Channel, and she's trying to get promoted to a coveted position in London. When Akira gets back to her room at their, like, base camp, and she removes Samar's coat, his journal falls out of it. Mm-hmm. And naturally, she starts to read it. And we are transported to the past.
Yes.
What's the... journey to the past.
On this journey.
Yeah.
That's not the... That wasn't the
Yeah, but yeah. I got you. Both of us, I was like, I don't remember don't how this song goes.
Don't fail me now. There we go.
You can always relate everything to Anastasia. That's what we've learned.
Because we could also, in this moment, another Anastasia song could be the Dancing Bears, oh. Painted Wings, as she's, like, remembering the, yeah.
Once upon a December, someone holds me safe and warm. Yeah. Great. This will go right up there with us singing the whole thing to Shrek.
that whole Shrek, that like 10-minute Shrek song and dance medley. We know what the people want.
Yes. Ahem. Anyway, we see Samar standing in the snow when a beautiful woman goes running past him into the church. Mm-hmm. She's here to talk to God and thank him. Well, Jesus. Sorry. I get confused. I'm not religious. I get confused if she's talking to God or Jesus or both.
You know, they're a part of the Trinity, and like the Trinity is like one. So
sure.
I think everyone's confused.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll refer to it as God. Maybe I'll refer to
the Holy Ghost.
Jesus. You know? She's talking to the Holy Ghost. But no, she's here to talk to God and thank him for helping her score top marks at university because it's made her dad very happy. Mm-hmm. She also prays that her dad won't like this Indian banker guy that she's about to be set up with because she can never fight with her father, but she very decidedly does not want to marry an Indian man because she made a promise that she wouldn't when she was a child.
The promises she makes to... the Christian God. Deity.
Yes.
very important.
Yes. And yeah, important to note that these prayers that she makes are transactional. Yes. For example, in return for this Indian banker guy like not liking her, she promises that she'll give up wearing fur coats even though she loves fur. Mm-hmm. And Samar watches all of this and he sees this beautiful woman get into a fancy car and drive away. We then see Samar's tenement building, where he shares a room with his friend Zane. And they're both kind of working to make ends meet in London. Samar's having a little bit more success than Zane, so he's helping Zane cover their, like, monthly rent. And we see that one of Samar's jobs is busking.
Yay!
He's got a guitar. And this is where we get our first kind of dance, more song than dance number, but Chala, which I adore.
It's a really good one. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah. And I just immediately, he's just like swinging that big smile around playing the guitar. And I'm like, oh, I love Shah Rukh so much.
So much. We have talked to each other about how much we both like street performers.
Yes.
And have definitely like fallen in love with street performers multiple times. In the past.
Yes. I like, just want to give them all my money. Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, that would happen to us a man like this performing in this way. We would lose our life savings as a result.
I'm realizing now, I think it's because it combines several things we've talked about. It combines, like, ideally, you know, we fall in love with good street performers.
Yes.
Like, good voices.
Yep.
That's great. Mastery over an instrument, also pretty attractive.
Mastery over juggling. Great. Excellent. Love it.
That, too. There was a chair guy that I... the chair stacking guy. I was like, oh. Like
balance. Yeah. There was a juggler / magician in Boston for me when I was like 16. And I was like, oh boy.
Whoa.
I'm lost.
I definitely tend to go more for the musicians on the street.
Yeah.
But yes. And the confidence to just perform in front of strangers.
Yeah.
It's all great. It's the trifecta.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. We're big fans. That's all there is to say about that.
Yes. But I also like that in this song, we see Mira walk by and she also kind of notices Samar because how wouldn't you?
Right, yeah.
He's got such presence. Oh, also important to note that the beautiful, wealthy woman from the church is Mira.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we also see Samar working various jobs. He, like, works at a fish market and he, like, shovels the snow outside the church and he busks and all this stuff. And then I was like, it's the jeans and the plaid shirt combo, I think, that are really doing it for me.
Yeah.
It was good.
And the puffy vest. Maybe the puffy vest. Yes. I think he does wear the puffy
vest. He's definitely wearing the puffy vest. Yeah, with, like, a hood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The hood's on the hoodie that's sticking.
Yes. Yeah. He's probably too warm, but he looks great.
It's, you know, it gets chilly in London. It's that's the chilly true. Time of year in London.
Yes. That's true. There was snow. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And the song ends with Mira putting some money in his collection tin. And she definitely gives him, like, the up and down look.
Oh, yeah.
We all know the look.
And who could blame her?
Not me. I would be looking repeatedly. And so after that beautiful song, Samar is working at the fish market when one of his repeat customers offers him a job at his restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the break that Samar's been waiting for.
Yeah.
So he starts working at this restaurant, and it just so happens that this is the venue where Mira is getting engaged. And we see Papa Anupam Kher.
Yay.
He's great. What a joyful man. I also just thought he had more, like, when he entered the screen, I was like, oh, right, he's here. And I just, in my head, thought he had more of a role.
Me too. I went on the same journey.
Yes. Later in the evening, Samar is taking out the trash when he encounters Mira, like, hiding out, smoking. Mm-hmm. And he asks her if Jesus didn't listen to her, since she had asked for that boy not to like her, but here she is getting engaged. And she explains that her fiancé is Roger, and he's a different guy. So yes. Jesus did listen to her. Thank you very much.
Jesus always listens
to
her.
And she's like, Roger's a really nice guy, and I'm super happy. But Samar points out that it doesn't seem like she's happy because she's out on her own during her engagement party explaining her decisions to a stranger.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he asked, but yeah.
Yes, that is true. He'll just conveniently forget that.
Yeah.
And they look at each other for a moment longer before a friend arrives to bring Mira back inside. Mira then approaches Samar, like, a day or two later where he's busking, and she offers him £500 to teach her how to sing.
Mm-hmm.
She explains that she wants to learn to sing a Punjabi song that she can perform at her father's 50th birthday party in 1 month. Samar refuses to take her money in exchange for teaching her to sing, and instead, he asks her to teach him proper English. And she agrees, and he is, like, so excited. I think not just to learn English, but to also spend some time with this pretty lady.
Again, who can blame him?
I can't blame anyone in this situation. No, I can blame her later on.
Everybody's so hot in this movie. You just can't blame any of them.
We then get a montage of Mira and Samar teaching each other, including him learning how to say salmon.
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 Why is there an L in salmon?
It's a great question. To this day, whenever I, like, am out to eat and I order salmon, because also I pronounce it salmon.
Salmon.
Salmon. Cause,
no, yeah. I also say it salmon.
Yeah.
Not salmon.
Salmon. But I always think of this movie, like, whenever I say that word, which I don't hate. I love it. Because I think of how proud he is when he first pronounces it correctly.
Yeah.
I also liked, though, that the woman at that table got, like, the steak and the man at the table got the salmon.
Yeah. Good for them for subverting gender. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed it and I liked it. Continuing on with the montage scenes, they are strolling along as Samar tells Mira about his home village, and he explains that every man in his family before him was in the army, but his mom refused to let him join because she didn't want him to die. And she was able to save up money to send him to London instead. Also kind of made me think of Donkey.
I know, I was thinking about Donkey with, like, their apartment too, and, like, yeah.
Yeah. But Samar's mom thought he'd do well because he can win hearts, and if you can win hearts, you never lose. Which is a good, actually, yeah, I'm like, I could see that.
That's a nice piece of advice for a mom to give a son.
Yeah.
To give anyone to give anybody, but it's sweet from a mom.
Exactly. We learn that Mira volunteers a lot because she believes that the more you give, the more you get, and you can't ask for something without giving up something. Mm-hmm. She says that's why her prayers are always fulfilled. Again, it's the transaction.
Yes. Jesus is greedy. He wants something.
Yes.
He does not just hand out favors here.
Yes. We then see Mira try singing again, and Samar is unimpressed. He explains that technically everything is great, but she doesn't sing with joy, only fear. Mm-hmm. And he says that's because the poised girl she pretends to be is not actually the girl that she is. And Samar calls a friend and asks her to help Mira so that for one night, Mira can listen to her heart.
When it's calling for you.
Exactly.
This is a musical episode.
It is. I'm just on top of the world.
I'm on top of the world.
So Samar is going to show her for one night who she really is. And I actually found this very romantic, and it made me skip, like, my heart skip a beat.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
There's a lot, like, this whole thing, like, he's very romantic. Yeah.
Very romantic, yeah. Very, like...
very charming, very
commanding.
Confident.
Yeah.
But yeah. In a, not even not in, like, a...
Right. Commanding of his presence, like, of himself.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Not controlling, just,
he's not,
like,
making commands. He's not giving commands.
Like,
he's
in control of himself.
Yeah. He's very cool.
It's very, yes, it works. It works.
It does work. Yeah.
It works this whole film.
I was going to say this at the end, but it keeps coming up, so I'm going to say it now. There were reviews that I read that were like, oh, it's so unrealistic that this, like, wealthy woman would fall in love with this, like, waiter. And I was like, okay. Excuse me. Did we watch the same movie?
Right. I think that person's missing something in their lives.
It was like multiple reviewers said this. And I was like, I don't even think that this is like a romantic tropey thing. Like, sure, it is, but like, this happens in reality.
Yeah, like if you've got that charisma and
it
that
doesn't matter. Yeah.
Level of confidence, yeah.
It's all over.
Yep. Right. So... that night, Samar's friend Maria brings Mira to an underground party. Mm-hmm. And Mira and Samar do this whole fake identities thing that is very flirty.
We always like that, yeah.
Yes, we do. Samar tells Mira that she could pick any man here, but she says that she doesn't see any who would look her in the eye and steal her heart away. Samar then starts to walk away, and she's like, hey, you give up too easily. But he very confidently says he wasn't even trying, and she'll come back because there's no one else who will do those things.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, wow, my God, so sexy.
Take me now.
Yeah. And I was like, and his throat parts.
Oh, they're always so good.
So good. Yes, it's just all of it. It's really nice. But then there's a big dance circle that Mira gets into the middle of, and she does amazingly.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to see Katrina Kaif, like, get to dance a little bit.
Yeah, she's a great dancer.
She's a great dancer, yeah. And she dances with a few different guys until Samar enters the middle of the circle with her, and they dance together.
Yes.
And this leads us into Ishq Shava.
Yeah, this is definitely my pick for my fave. Because I had forgotten about this song until this scene started to happen. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about this number.
Yes, it's a good one.
It's really good. And I just need to specifically talk about everybody's outfits. Because, specifically the women with, like, the low-rise mini skirts and, like, crop tops. It's just, like, a lot of middle... and, like, the little jackets and the boots and the fishnets. I was just like, this is how I dressed to go out in college. I was like, this is what my friends and I were all wearing when we were, like, going out in college. And it just brought me to such a, like, happy place.
That's amazing.
Thinking about that. And the fishnets especially. Like, I was such a, like, funky tights fishnets kind of a girl when it came
so
to my going
cool.
out outfits. Well, I did my best.
I did my best. I was that person who definitely owned fishnets but never wore them.
Mm.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, no, that's not for me. But I also never went out in college, so you're just cool.
Maybe if you had, you could have worn your fishnets.
Maybe. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
bring back the fishnets.
It's not too late. Well, it's you know, it's like the cycle. So, like, mm-hmm. right now we've returned to the early aughts, which is a nightmare. But then soon we're going to go back to, like, the teens.
That's true.
And the fishnets and the little jackets will be back. And
yes.
I'm just saving all those things.
I don't want the low-rise stuff to come back,
No,
though.
Me neither. I'm out of that era for myself. High-rise only for yes. this body.
Yeah, I love the dancing at each other. It's very sensual, too.
Yes.
It's a very sexy yes. song. And the thing where they toss the whiskey bottle around and then it lands in between their chests.
Yes, yes. Love that. That's such a good moment. Yeah. I also, there's a backup dancer in here who my eye always goes to her, where, like, she's wearing, like, a pink bra top and jean shorts, like, sparkly
yes.
jean shorts, and she's got the curly hair.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know what it is about her, but something about the way she flips her hair, I'm just like, yes. Yes, queen. Give.
That's great. I noticed her as well, and I was like, yeah. oh, right, there's white ladies here. We could be these white ladies.
We could. I can't flip my hair like that, but I could try.
I can't wear those outfits, so.
So we're maybe we can't be these exact white ladies.
There's a reason we're not those white ladies.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But we can dream.
Mm-hmm. After this dance number, Mira is super happy because she had just, like, a fantastic night.
Yeah.
Letting loose. And Samar and Mira go to wait for her train, and Samar tells her she's a badass. And he then reveals that he has fallen for her.
Mm-hmm.
She laughs, but he says that he's not joking. It's her badass personality hiding behind her proper appearance that's trapped him.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
That's always good. Yeah.
Yes. And he then says that he understands she's marrying Roger, and their deal is done, so there's no need for them to see each other anymore. Mira's train then arrives, but as she's about to get on it, again, how do you not understand why this woman would fall in love with this man?
I know. I was like,
he's yeah,
fanning
no,
myself.
I,
yeah,
yeah,
I was like
swooning. A little flustered, blushing a little bit. So as she's about to get on her train, Samar stops her by saying, "Mira, if I kiss you, will you slap me?" And then he says, "I don't think you'd slap me."
Because she just, like, the look looks, on her face.
Yes.
She's just, like, in shock, but she's also just, like,
yeah.
She's very excited.
Like, yes.
The pupils
yes.
have dilated.
Yes, yes, we're there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the train shuts its doors and leaves, and Mira is still standing there. And Samar slowly approaches her and, like, wraps his arm around her waist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pulling yep. her to him.
Yep.
Then he cups her face and kisses her oh so gently.
Yeah.
As he backs away, he says, "You didn't slap me."
She did not.
No. Now let's talk about this kiss.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. It was actually better than I remembered it being.
Me too. Yes, I agree.
But I do think we still feel cheated as
yes.
we did the original. It's like they were building up such tension.
Yep.
In this lead up to their lips touching. And then suddenly we get the, like, wide shot.
Yep.
And I wish they hadn't done that.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, like, the first time we watched it, I think I assumed that they weren't actually kissing. We
right.
weren't having, it was not a lip to lip kiss.
Yes.
So it was like, we're cheating the angle, so you
right.
can't tell that
and
that's
And I was
happening.
Okay with it, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. And then we cut back and they are actually kissing.
Right.
And I'm like, I would have liked to see the moment where their lips met.
Yes, same.
And then you can cut to the wide shot and then cut back. But, like, it was just,
right.
yeah, it was an interesting choice. And I wonder if there was some
awkwardness
maybe
or something.
Discomfort
yeah.
around what that would look like or be like. But then I feel like later when we see them
yeah.
kiss, that's it seems pretty okay.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I was bummed out a little bit. It's like you built us up and you let
us
down.
It's just like OK Janu, the
yes.
like, if
the
you're going to have them
so
kiss,
good.
Do it in the right moment.
Right.
Don't stop the tension in its tracks.
Yeah. So great. Yeah. We're aligned on this.
Yeah.
This
kiss subject. We're in agreement. Yes.
And then we get a montage song of Mira performing the song for her father while she's thinking about Samar. Yeah. And Samar flourishing at the restaurant and making money. But they both can't stop thinking about the other one. And one night, Mira seeks out Samar. So they go out to eat, and he says, "So you too have fallen in love. Couldn't be without me for 2 days." Mm-hmm. But Mira says that she is still marrying Roger because that's what her father wants. And he's given her everything she's ever wanted, and this is the only thing he wants, so she can't say no to him. I wish that we kind of had, like, a scene with her father to explain, like, is he really strict about it?
Yeah.
Or was she just kind of floating along being like, I'm never going to even have a conversation that I don't, like, with him, that I don't want to marry this man? Like,
yeah. I think maybe if we had heard some more of the stuff about her mom, like, in a conversation with her dad, that it maybe would have felt a little less kind of exposition dumpy.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Minor criticism there.
Yeah.
But so Mira brings Samar to the church and tells him that they have to make a promise to Jesus that they'll just remain friends and never cross that line. And if they do, they'll be punished. And Samar's just like, no, I'm not doing this. I can't be friends with you, but I won't cross that line. I don't need to make a promise to God to keep my word here.
Yeah.
And he goes to leave, but Mira stops him, saying that she needs to do this so that she doesn't mistakenly cross the line. So she's asking him to make this promise for her. And because he's in love with her, he does it.
Yeah.
We then see Mira walk into work one day, only to see that a package has been delivered for her. And it's from her mother, who had left Mira and her father, like, 9 years ago-ish. 9 or 10. Sure. 8 to 10 years ago. And she has now sent Mira her wedding dress to wear for her wedding. And she's also asking Mira for her forgiveness.
Yeah.
Mira's pretty shook by this because she hasn't heard from her mom in a really long time. And so she goes to visit Samar at the restaurant so that she can get his support and advice. And then they go to meet Mira's mom. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get our cameo from the Kapoors.
Our Kapoor cameo.
Our Kapoor cameo, which did feel so much sweeter. A, having watched Chandani, and, like, I'm now very fond towards, like, Rishi Kapoor.
Yeah.
But also watching the Romantics.
Yeah, I did go back and rewatch the part of the Romantics where they talk about this movie, and Rishi Kapoor talking about how both he and Yash Chopra, like, teared up when they finished filming this scene. Because it was just, like, clear to both of them, like, this is our last time of you, like, directing me on camera. And it's just like, oh,
right.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
And I think because of having watched The Romantics, I was watching that scene kind of with that in the back of my mind, like, that kind of bittersweet feeling.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, so Mira's mom starts crying the moment that she sees her, and it's really beautiful. And Mira's mom tells Mira that Papa was nice, but she never loved him. And then she met Imran and fell in love. And she tried to fight it for 8 years until she finally gave in because she realized she couldn't make others happy if she herself wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And then I like at this moment, both women kind of look over to where the men have just been hanging out, and they're doing ridiculous balancing acts with wine glasses.
They're just goofing off. It's back there. It's
adorable.
So funny.
Yeah. I love it. And Mira confesses to her mom that she's hated her for the past 9 years, but she understands now why she left. And she says that she misses her, and they embrace.
I do also think it's interesting that Dad is so mad at Mira's mom because I don't think she committed that great of a sin.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it sort of seems like there could have been the option for her to continue to be in Mira's life because it doesn't seem like she didn't want to, like, not have a child anymore.
Right.
She just wanted to be with the man she loved. And so I also think that's an interesting dynamic that doesn't really get explored, the idea that, like, Mira's dad, like, kind of forced her completely out of their lives and was like, well, you either choose Imran or you choose us. And she chose Imran, and there was just nothing. There was no compromise.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a bit strange. Because it's also not like she didn't have an affair.
No.
She, like, tried to make her marriage work and then left. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, it really just is, like, they had a divorce because she wasn't happy in the marriage and realized she could be happier somewhere else, and Mira's dad was
you can't talk to your daughter.
Never.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, Mira's dad is, like, kind of a plot point that could have been fleshed out more.
Definitely, yeah.
Mira then thanks Imran for making her mother happy, and she asks him how he waited for her mom for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And he said that he just knew that when they originally met, it hadn't been the time for their love, but if he waited, it would happen someday. Aww. Which is really sweet.
Very sweet.
I mean, could be really bad if you live your life that way with certain people, but also could work out. So...
it's one of those things that's, like, in reality... you don't really want to, like, encourage people to think that way, but, like, in movies or when you hear that someone did and it did work You're out, like, it's great. Very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. On the ride back to London, Mira and Samar pause for a coffee break, and Mira just tells Samar that she loves him. Mm-hmm. She starts to lean in to kiss him, and he says, "You're crossing the line," but she kisses him anyway. And so he tosses away the coffees he'd bought them, and they kiss more. Yay for love.
Yay for love.
Yay. And then there's a love song that I didn't actually write the name of the song down. But let's just talk about the things they get up to in this love song. Because, like, they make out in a telephone booth in the rain.
They do.
Yeah. She does a little striptease/pole dance on the tube.
Yeah.
And they get handcuffed by the police for dancing in a fountain.
Yes.
It's all amazing.
Well, then they just make out in handcuffs, and the cops are presumably just, like, there.
Yeah. It's very Bayfic Array.
It is very Bayfic Array. Does that actually happen in Bayfic Array? Like, did Adi steal that from his dad?
Probably.
Adorable.
And they make love, and they dance around Mira's apartment, and Samar does the chair move that Shahrukh is so good at.
Yes, the scary one that feels possible, but also, like, you might die.
Yeah, you have to have confidence. Confidence and competence.
I have confidence. Okay. I really like the scene where they, like, Mira is, like, serving dinner to Samar, and they're, like, they're, like, dressed up like a waiter and a fancy guy, and then it pans out, and neither of them's wearing pants.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting pantslessness to be such a big component of our conversation this evening, but here we are.
It's very domestic.
Yes.
People are allowed to wear pants. It's fine. You don't have to if you're in your own home.
Right, yeah. I often don't wear pants in my own home.
Same. So Samar drops Mira off for a friend's birthday party, and she says that she'll tell Papa about them this evening. And as Samar rides his motorcycle away, he shouts back, "Mira, I love you." And then he promptly gets hit by a car.
Because he's turning his whole body around.
While he drives through an intersection.
While he drives into an intersection.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It was not great. Yeah. No. And Mira goes running to him as the emergency services arrive. And as they start to work on him, she begins to pray. And she prays that Samar will be all right because he should not pay for her mistake. And in return, she promises that she will never see him again. Mm-hmm. Great. The paramedics are able to stabilize Samar, and they load him into the ambulance while Mira watches heartbroken.
Yeah.
Next, we see Samar complaining to his friend Zane that he can't get through to Mira's phone, and she didn't visit him at the hospital either. He's now back home. He wonders if her father is mad with her, and that's why she stayed away. And then there's a knock at the door, and it's Mira. So Mira and Samar talk, and Mira confesses that she didn't tell her father about them, but that she has been praying. And she says that she asked Jesus to spare Samar's life, and in return, she offered up the most precious thing in her life, him.
Yeah.
He does not understand this at all, but she explains that this is her belief, and no one can change it. And she only came to see him to explain why she was avoiding him.
Yeah.
Oh, it is very frustrating.
It's very frustrating. And I also think maybe, like, helpful to remember, too, that Samar is Muslim. And so, you know, like, maybe there is a component of, like, why do you care so much with this Jesus guy?
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Mira then goes one step farther and asks Samar to leave London and go far away, basically to help her maintain this promise. Mm-hmm. That is so hard to, like, oh God. Yeah, you're telling him you can't be with him, and then also he has to leave. Ugh.
She's very selfish when you think about it, because, like, she also, like, she goes and, like, reestablishes their relationship just to tell him, like, I love you, but I can't be with you, so we have to be friends instead. And it's like, you could have just not gone back into his life. Like,
right. Yep.
Could have just left him alone. But anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and Samar's pretty angry.
Yeah.
And all he says is, congratulations on your wedding. And then Mira leaves, and they're both really sad. And later that night, Zane returns home to find that Samar left him all of his money he'd saved up and a note explaining that Samar is going home to India, but Zane should stay and use the money to make something of himself. And one day, Samar will come back to collect his share. We then see Samar at the church, waging war with Jesus for stealing his love from him. And he pledges that now he will steal her belief from Jesus, and he will do this by embracing death every day. And we'll see how long Jesus keeps him alive. Then Samar picks up his bag and leaves London to walk through active bomb zones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presumably this is intermission. Mm-hmm. And after intermission, we see we're back to the present, and Akira returns Samar's jacket to him. She then asks him about Mira and why he didn't return to her. But he remains silent, like, this whole time that Akira is talking to him. Very different personality from what he used to be like.
But it's also funny because he wrote that story.
That is so true.
So he's like, wow, I was so charming.
Yeah.
Everybody loved me.
What if in reality, it was like, that was just his own version of events. And it was like, oh, he was kind of fine. Like, he was fine.
Yeah. Mira was just like, yeah, it was just a fling. Like,
yeah. You know. Akira then asks Samar if love could happen to anyone, even her. And then all he does is ask her for her name, then say, you're cool. Consider it just a story and you'll remain cool. And then Samar rides away. And Akira begs her boss to let her make a documentary about Samar, and the boss agrees. And so at the army base in Kashmir, Akira arrives. She immediately becomes friends with the other officers, but Samar is not super thrilled that she's here. Mm-hmm. But at the first bomb they go to together, he tells her to stay behind the barricade and follow his instructions. She nods, but then immediately follows him around the barricade to get closer to the bomb. And so Samar is working on the bomb, and he realizes that it has this really long, like, cord to a pressure plate that happens to be right behind Akira. And she's listening to music with both headphones in while she's filming, like, looking up and walking backwards. So she doesn't hear him shout her name, and Samar runs to stop her, but she walks backwards and ends up stepping on the trigger just as he reaches her.
Like, just setting aside the stupidity of not following directions when you're at, like, an active bomb site.
Uh-huh.
Why would a documentary filmmaker be listening to her iPod while she's filming?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but...
Shouldn't you be, like, paying attention to the world around you?
Also, like, maybe filming what he's doing? Yeah. Instead of, like, the birds?
The birds!
I know you need some, like, you know, transition shots, but come on.
Yeah, but you don't... Not, like, to replace your action shots.
Yeah. But, yeah, so there's a big explosion, which weirdly came from not the car that cord led to. It came from a different part of where they were.
It's bombs everywhere.
Yes, apparently. And luckily no one is hurt, but Samar is furious because her actions endangered everyone. Mm-hmm. So he tells her that it's done, she's going back home, and Akira begs him to let her stay, and she says that just like Mira was Samar's one passion in life, filming is hers. And this kind of strikes a chord with him, so he agrees to let her stay. Back at camp, Samar goes down to the river for some quiet time, and Akira follows him without him knowing, and she catches him singing. Mm-hmm. And later, Akira watches the video again, kind of on her own, and talks to herself and says it's impossible not to fall for him, and that within 2 weeks, he'll be singing Punjabi songs for her. It's very, very, very confident.
She's very confident, too, yes.
Yes, she's a 21-year-old lady. Who's got a lot of confidence. Good for her. Yeah. And the next bomb is hanging from a bridge, and Samar calls Akira over so that she can film up close what he's doing, and they chat while he works, and she asks him if he plans to be in love with Mira the rest of his life. She then offers to be Samar's girlfriend, but says that it's a limited time offer, so he should think carefully about it. And she says that she never asks God for anything, so there's no chance of him leaving over some vows and promises. And this makes him laugh. Mm-hmm. And they really do have a very cute friendship.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great.
It is great. I do kind of wish that she hadn't fallen in love with him.
Yeah. It's kind of like Dear Zindagi. Like,
that's exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah. I was like, this would have been a lot more fulfilling to me if they had just been buds.
Yeah. But I also don't know. I don't know how many of us could have that kind of relationship with Shah Rukh Khan's characters and not fall in love with them. I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, in the reality, yeah.
But you're right. As far as the writing goes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But I also don't think it's very Yash Chopra to not have her fall in love with him. Yeah.
Everyone's in love with everyone.
Yeah, it's true.
Then we get our next dance number, Gia Ray. Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose this as my fave.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yes. And I just feel like Anushka's personality shines through the entire time.
Yeah, she's having so much fun.
Yeah. And there's a fun scene where she's, like, standing on the boat doing her little dance. And there's all these guys, like, waving their arms and their oars. And I love it.
Yeah. I love all the moments where, like, she's doing the dance. And then there's all the, like, the people doing the dance behind her.
Yeah.
Like, all the women with the baskets. And it's just, it's great. It's a fun number.
Mm-hmm. And we also see she's starting to put a smile back on Samar's face.
Yeah.
Like, he's smiling more freely. Also, like, towards the end of this dance number, there's a moment when she's dancing with the whiskey bottle, and then Samar looks at her sternly, and then he grins and starts dancing with her.
Yep. Yeah.
This is when I said, oh, yeah, Shahrukh's smile is the most precious thing on the planet.
It truly is. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah. And then one night, Akira asks Samar why he doesn't wear a bomb suit, and he says that they're meant to protect you, but life will kill you slowly, day by day, and a bomb will only kill you once. Mm-hmm. They then have a really cute back and forth, which ends with Akira telling Samar that she's in love with him, and she says there's no need for him to say anything, because she knows he doesn't have feelings for her, but she'll never meet someone her age who is a lover like him, and she can never love someone less than him.
Uh-huh.
So she's screwed.
Yeah.
That sucks. I also, she is 21, like.
Right. She's definitely, it's like when, all the women who go on The Bachelor who are like, no one has ever loved me and I'll never find love. And it's like, you're in your early 20s. You'll be
fine.
Yeah,
you're like 22. It's, you'll be cool.
You will live to love again.
Yes. Samar tells Akira that she delivers dialogues like him, but she should never fall in love like him because the world can't handle missing out on her mischief and laughter.
Very sweet.
This is very sweet. Yeah. I love it. And at the end of the 2 weeks, it's time for Akira to leave. She's gotten her footage, so she says goodbye to everyone and tells Samar to take care of himself, and he goes to give her a hug, and she stops him, saying she won't have a friendly hug, but if he wants to kiss her, he can. And then he gives her the sweetest forehead kiss.
No one kisses a forehead like Shah Rukh Khan.
That's true. And then she leaves.
Yeah,
good luck forgetting about that.
Yeah.
In London, Akira shows her boss the documentary, and she loves it. So the boss tells her that they will air it, but in order to do that, Samar will need to come to London for the premiere. If he doesn't come, they won't air the documentary. Mm-hmm. So Akira calls Samar and tells him this and asks him to come for her, knowing what she's asking. She's like, oh, he's not going to do it. And sure enough, he refuses. But then, a few days later, Akira gets a call from Samar saying that he's here in London.
Yay!
Yay! And she runs outside to meet him, and they hug, and it's super cute. But then Akira just, like, backs into traffic without looking and is almost hit by a car. And she's only saved by Samar pushing her out of the way so that he gets hit instead.
It was also the second time in this scene that she was almost hit by a car. Yeah.
Foreshadowing. Yeah. Now, you know, whenever you notice, like, oh, wow, there are cars going really close behind them, you got to be aware because you don't want a Malal situation.
I was trying to remember if we watched this, like, which we watched first, this or Malal, and which of them was the movie that truly ruined us for cars in movies. Because it was one or the other of these.
I feel like it was Malal first.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like Malal really caught me off guard.
Yeah,
when that
I
happened.
Agree. And then I feel like when we watched this, we were like, oh, like, we're spoiled by Malal. We think people are going to get hit by these cars. And then they did.
Yeah, that's so true. But Samar's taken to a hospital and operated on. And after the operation, Akira goes to visit him, but he doesn't know who she is, and he keeps calling for Mira. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that he's suffering from retrograde amnesia, and he's forgotten the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So the last thing that he remembers is the original accident that he had. Yikes.
Everything between the head injuries, the brackets are the head injuries, and everything has been deleted.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know science.
No.
Maybe.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. Anyway. The doctor tells Akira that Samar may recover, but also he may not. And it might help him remember if they bring in some of the people he knew 10 years ago. And the doctor says that Mira is the most important person to try to track down. Mm-hmm. So Akira goes to Mira's house, arriving in the middle of a children's birthday party. And she sees Mira having fun with a child and interacting with Roger, so Akira leaves. And instead, she meets Mira at her office to talk with her. And Akira tells Mira about everything that happened and tells her that she's the only one who can help Samar. And Mira agrees, and at the hospital, the doctor tells her that she'll need to be very careful about how she interacts with Samar, because any major shock could forever prevent him from regaining his memory.
I'm not a doctor. The medical science seems a little flimsy, but
we're
here
for
my disbelief. Yeah.
Yeah.
In this world, this is what happens.
Yes. So Mira goes into the room to see Samar and they hug, and it's torture for Mira, but she's here, she's doing it. And with Mira by Samar's side, the doctor tells him that the accident he remembers was actually 10 years ago. And she explains that he has amnesia, and he's really struggling to grasp this. This is a shock, which makes sense. And after the doctor leaves, Samar asks Mira how long they've been married. And she just answers, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And she just holds him, because he's mourning, forgetting, like, the 5 years they've been married, which...
Little does he know.
Yeah. Ooh. Akira then has a conversation with Mira, saying it's not fair to be asking Mira to pretend to be Samar's wife when she has a husband and child. And Mira's like, nope, I never actually married. That is Roger's child that he had with another woman who I just help throw birthday parties for. And so Mira still loves Samar and always has.
Yeah.
So Akira and Mira decide to team up to help Samar get his life back.
Yeah.
And they go to visit Samar's old friend Zane at the restaurant that he now owns. And he's on board to kind of buy into this whole life where they're going to tell Samar, like, okay, you've been married to Mira for 5 years and you own this house and you own this restaurant. And the next day, Mira shows Samar around their quote-unquote house, and they live together for a couple of days as if this is their life. Yep. But we see that he is getting, like, flashes of memories from, like, bomb stuff, but it's not fully clicking.
Right.
Mira then goes to the doctor and Akira and says that she can't do this anymore. So the doctor's like, all right, let's do a new thing. We're going to introduce Akira to Samar in the hopes that it will trigger his memory. Mm-hmm. So they all set up this ruse that Samar's getting interviewed by the Discovery Channel as a successful Indian businessman in London. And when Samar sees Akira, he gets another memory flashback, but it doesn't fully get him there. So he's still like, oh, weird, kind of deja vu, but I don't know you. And so they start this interview, and then Samar asks to ride her bike, and they go on a motorcycle ride around London. And Akira's just at all these stops seeing Samar's old personality and realizing that he was a total goofball.
Yeah.
And Akira and Mira then meet up, and Akira tells Mira that today she met a Samar she'd never met before. And the Samar that she knew was a shadow of this one, because he clearly lives to love Mira. Akira then says that before Samar recovers and can give her the friendship lecture again, she's going to leave, and then Mira can be with Samar. Mira then says that Akira isn't the reason that she's stopping herself. It is actually Samar, because she's afraid that something bad will happen to him if she allows herself to be with him. This same old song and dance. And Akira says that she doesn't believe in God, but she's going to give Mira some advice. That Mira left Samar to keep him alive, but he's been dead since she left. So Akira advises Mira to go live a little.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah. Then we see Samar waiting for a train when the train station is evacuated due to a bomb threat.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets overcome by flashbacks, and he sees the bomb, and he defuses it, and now he remembers everything.
Yep.
Gotta love that the police were just like, oh, this guy sounds like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
No credentials.
Could have just Googled it. Yeah.
Yeah. But so then Samar goes to the church, and he asks Mira to join him, and she's dressed in her wedding dress, and this is when Samar reveals that he's gotten his memory back, and she's like, oh my god, what? And he goes on to talk about God and how God took Mira from him and multiple times. And it all comes down to the fact that she loves God more than she loves Samar. So he's like, I'm going back to the bomb squad and God will either have to kill me or concede and send you to me.
I just had the thought that, like, do you think, like, God and Jesus and all those guys throughout this movie were just like, listen, we have nothing to do with this.
You guys can, like, be together.
Like, this woman's just making her choices. It's not on us. Like,
probably. Like, take some agency for your choices. Yeah. It's really funny. Yeah. So then we see Samar say goodbye to Akira, and he tells her that when his time to die comes, he'll ask God for another life so that he can love her.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
It is very sweet.
And back in India, Samar defuses another bomb. But then Mira is there.
Yeah.
And he asks her if he's going to die today. And she reminds him that she's also suffered the past 10 years. But she realizes now that God didn't keep Samar alive to be without Mira. He kept him alive to be with her. And she says that 10 years ago wasn't their time, but now is.
Yay.
And at this moment, the other soldiers find another bomb that Samar needs to defuse.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the first time we were watching it, we were just like, no.
No!
No.
Because they hit the whole, like, he can't die thing so hard that you're like, well, he's definitely going to die.
Exactly. That was so stressful.
Very stressful.
And we see Akira speaking about Samar at her film's premiere. And she says that the story is not just one of courage, but one of love. Mm-hmm. And Samar is currently defusing his 108th bomb, which will be his last, because his wait is finally over, and it's time for him to live.
Again, it's like, he's definitely gonna die.
Totally, yeah. And, like, back in India, Samar actually successfully defuses this bomb.
Yeah.
That's done. And then he proposes to Mira with a ring made of wire, and they embrace.
Yay.
Yay.
And did you notice that there were just, like, some guys, like, running. Army guys, like, running? Where were they going? Why were they running?
I was kind of like, are they getting shot at? What's happening? Like,
is there an emergency of some kind? Because these two are just hugging in the foreground. Yeah.
I did notice that. And I was like, that was an interesting choice to have them run. Because had they walked, I wouldn't have noticed.
No, yeah. It's the running that...
Yeah. They just have to run. Fishy. They're, like, in a video game. They have to run from point A to point B.
Yeah, that's their only mode of movement.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, we already kind of covered most of our – I've covered most of my thoughts.
Yeah, I did really love the tribute to Yash Chopra over the credits was really beautiful. Yeah. And then the final words of and he lives on forever was really sweet. Because, yeah, his art lives on. And
it's agreed.
Just a beautiful sentiment. But yeah, no, I feel like I covered all of my thoughts as well. Before diving into research, I did want to share a quote that I liked from Anupama Chopra, who, wrote the DDLJ book. She was in the Romantics. She wrote a review for the Hindustan Times on the movie, and I just really liked, she said, "You don't go to a Yash Chopra movie to delve into realism or the messiness of relationships. You go to partake in a fantasy of swooning, idealized love." And then later she says, "Only Yash Chopra could make heartache so attractive and ennobling that his characters wear it like a badge of honor."
Yeah.
And I just really appreciated that. Because again, it's like, I liked her review the best, because a lot of the reviews I read were, like, lukewarm to negative. I think the public opinion about the movie is more positive.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. A lot of people were critical of Aditya Chopra's screenplay. But I thought Anupama Chopra had a much better review of, like, this, of, like, what the movie came to be.
Right.
I always appreciate that. It's like, this is what this movie set out to do, and it was the thing that it set out to be.
Yeah. And and I think that helps me kind of sum up my thoughts too, because I'm not a fan of it because of the plot.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the heart behind it and the people behind it. And
exactly.
The romanticism of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. What did you research?
Yes. Well, speaking of love stories, I researched the stories that were referenced in Mira's song.
Oh my God. So when it was happening, I was like, ooh, I kind of hope that this is what Kim goes for.
Excellent. Yes. Great. I was thinking about way back in our second episode when you did the research on Leila Majnu.
Yeah.
And so I did research on Hir Ranja and Mirza Sahiba.
Great.
Both of those stories, as well as Leila Majnu, are examples of kissa, or Punjabi folklore. So, just like you discovered with Leila Majnu, there are lots of different versions of both of these stories. Starting with Hir Ranja, according to Wikipedia, it was first written by Damodar Gulati, who claimed to be an eyewitness to the love story, leading to a belief that Hir and Ranja are real historical figures, although no concrete evidence of this actually exists.
Okay.
Other famous versions of the story include a 16th century poem by Shah Hussein and the 1766 novel by Waris Shah. Versions of the story exist in Hindi, Urdu, Persian, English, and Haryanavi. There are 20 different versions of the story in Persian alone and at least 15 in Urdu.
Wow.
So, again, with lots of different versions, so it's hard to know exactly what the details are of the stories. Mm-hmm. I read two different versions, and here is the gist.
Okay, great.
Hir was the daughter of a wealthy man, and Ranja was the youngest and favorite son of four brothers. When Ranja's father died, his family deemed him to be a burden since he had minimal life skills beyond being an okay shepherd and an excellent flautist.
Ooh.
Yes. His family kicked him out of his home, and he spent some time wandering around before he found his way to Hir's village. They both lived in the same area of Punjab, but from different villages.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell in love, but Hir's family married her off to another man. So Ranja went on some kind of spiritual journey before returning to Hir's village some number of years later and claiming her as his own.
Ooh.
And there's sort of different versions of, like, what happened with her husband and between the two of them, but basically they're like, yep, nope, this is it, we're getting married.
Mm-hmm.
But on the day of their wedding, Hir's uncle poisons her food.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she dies, and then Ranja eats the food too. He knows it's poisoned, but so he can die and be with her.
Right, the classic Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sad. Neither of these stories is an upper. I'm sorry to tell you. But the story has been adapted to the screen at least 19 times.
Wow.
Since 1928. Yeah, so a popular story. It has also been referenced in musical numbers from several different films, not just Jab Tak Hai John, but also Tamasha and Queen and others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wikipedia fails to mention my favorite musical reference to the legend, which is, of course, Hyrie by Jocelyn Royal.
I was wondering, watching, I was like, ooh, yes. Does that have something to, yes.
Yes, and the music video, for anyone who hasn't seen it, tells a slightly different story involving time travel.
Yeah.
And Hir rewrites the ending of her own story so that it's happy and she and Dulquer Salman can live happily ever after.
Yes, please.
So now moving on to Mirza Sahiban. again, multiple different versions of it, but the general consensus, again, I read two different stories, but so Sahiban was a celebrated beauty, and Mirza was an accomplished archer, and he fell madly in love with her. But Mirza's mother and Sahiban's father were nursed by the same woman. It was one of their moms, I forget which. One of their moms died, and then the other one's mom nursed them both. Okay. So they're considered milk siblings. So Mirza and Sahiban are considered milk cousins. Okay. And so their families are like, well, you guys are related. You can't get married.
Right.
Even though they're not
right
by blood, but in their family's minds, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mirza and Sahiban elope. They're riding off on Mirza's horse together, but eventually Mirza gets tired of riding, and so he stops, and he decides to take a rest, despite Sahiban's protests. And she knows that her family is going to come after them, and Mirza's like, well, don't worry about that. If they come after us, I'll just use my arrows and kill them, because I'm such an accomplished archer. Mm-hmm. And so he, like, goes to sleep, and Sahiban's like, well, I don't want him to kill my family.
Ah.
So she breaks all his arrows.
Okay.
Yes. You can see where this is going.
I feel so, like you could have just had a conversation, lady.
You really could. Well, he went to sleep. What's she going to do? So, yeah, so her brothers find them and shoot their own arrows at Mirza, and he reaches for his quiver and finds it empty and looks to Sahiban betrayed.
Yeah.
And so he dies, and Sahiban also dies. The different versions I read had different like reasons that she died, but it seems like maybe she like threw herself in front of Mirza and took like a second arrow that should have hit him and hit her instead. Yes. And she died.
Okay.
But because Sahiban betrayed Mirza, that is why the story is called Mirza Sahiban as opposed to Sahiban Mirza, because the other stories, the title format is the woman's name, the man's name,
mm-hmm.
but because she betrayed him, her name is second in the title.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mirza Sahiban has also been adapted into film many times, at least 14 times since 1929.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think we said this about the Leila Majnu, too, that, like, it would be interesting to watch some of these adaptations.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how people, you know, take this folklore and spin mm-hmm. it and turn it into a full film. Yeah, absolutely. Especially, there are definitely, like, more modern adaptations of the story, which I think, mm-hmm. you know, some might involve some death, but some are also, like, comedies, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's cool to see, just like we have in Western culture with different adaptations of, you know, our own, not really folklore, but our own stories.
Yeah.
How people put different spins on it is really cool.
Yeah. I would, it could be fun maybe to do like
a folklore unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I'd be into that.
But thanks for sharing. I always enjoy like folklore stories, even though they do tend to be pretty tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also helpful to have that background too, because like the song is obviously kind of mirroring the plot.
Yeah,
it's not just a song,
right? The love and the loss, and
Well, really, what it comes down to is have conversations. Have open communication with your partner. Yes,
this came up in Chandani too. Like, just talk to people. Tell people what's on your mind. Don't feel like you have to hide it or manipulate them because you think they might feel a certain way about something.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah, you wait to manipulate until after you've had a conversation.
Right. Until you know it's the right decision.
Exactly. Oh, great. Bollywood news.
Yeah, I don't have anything this week.
Me neither.
All right. No news.
No news.
Nothing to report on.
That's okay. Pluggables. Mm-hmm. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Yeah, kind of interact with us however you'd like to on those platforms. If you want to follow us, you can. If you want to like stuff, leave comments, send DMs, whatever you want to do. We love it all.
Slide right into those DMs.
Yeah, do it. And feel free also to subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Depending on the platform, you can also leave a rating or review on mm-hmm. said platform. And that is always great. But yeah. No matter what, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify. Rock out to our Bollywood Bangers playlists with us. We add our favorite songs from the movies we watch to those playlists, and we link them in our episode descriptions as well as on Instagram on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Yay!
Okay. Yay!
So, next week...
Yeah, it's your birthday movie.
Next week is my birthday.
Yeah!
And lucky for me, unlike... poor Katie, my birthday movie is still available to stream on Netflix.
Yay!
So we will be watching Tallulah, which is another Malayalam language film starring Tevino Thomas. And I don't know why, but it is one of my favorite movies.
You know what? I can see that, and I think it's acceptable. That's an acceptable choice.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It's just wild and fun and funny with amazing music and bright colors and incredible fight sequences. And because the title translates to, well, a series of fights. There's another one, A Ballad of Brawls was another translation of it that I saw that's funny. It's basically just like a bunch of fighting tied together with song and dance and a love story. And I don't know... What more you could possibly want from a movie, basically.
What's not to love about that?
Nothing. All of it's to love.
Yeah.
So for my birthday, that is what we will be experiencing.
I'm really excited about it. Because, yeah, you have shown this to me once before.
Yes.
But honestly, I don't remember. And, you know, like the plot, again, is kind of... It is exactly what it claims to be. So...
It really is. It is a series of fights, but in a good way.
But in a great way, like a highly entertaining way. So when I'm like, oh, I don't really remember what happens, I think that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like a lot happens and it moves very quickly. And it definitely took me 2 watches to really fully like appreciate it as much as I do now. It's also a movie that like jumps around in its own timeline a lot.
Now I'm remembering that. Yes.
Yeah, and I also think it's helpful. Anybody who hasn't seen the movie before who is going to watch it now for the first time, use Tovey's haircut as your... like, his hair gets shorter as time progresses in the film, so you can go by the length of his hair to tell what time we're in.
That's very helpful.
Yes.
Awesome.
On IMDb, our plot description is, follows a youngster ready to get married, but funny events happen and change his plans.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not very funny, I would say. A little, some of it's funny.
Yeah.
Mostly it's violent.
Yeah. The Netflix synopsis doesn't claim to be funny.
Okay.
It says, Wasim is young, carefree, and often drawn to fights. That's true.
All true, yeah.
But when love blooms with a star vlogger, the impact of his fists could have disastrous effects.
I see what they did there.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm so excited about this, Kim.
I'm so excited that you're excited. I'm excited that we're watching another Tovey movie, because he's like... I think about him a lot.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other amazing people in it too. It's just a fun movie. So I hope everyone enjoys.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yay.
Yay, happy birthday, Kim.
Thanks. It's the best possible way to celebrate getting another year older.
Mhm. I'll wish you a happy birthday next time too.
Thank you. You better. No, I'm kidding.
Or else the podcast is over.
That would be very sad.
That would be. Don't worry, guys. We won't break up. At least not over this.
Not yet.
So, yeah. Watch, enjoy, and until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Mm-mm.
But we need Bollywood.
Yes. Especially... calm, cool, collected, Bollywood boys who are good at defusing bombs.
Yeah.
And playing guitar.
And singing. And wearing shirts.
It's an important skill to have. Don't get it twisted.
Yep.